Good morning. It's Tuesday, March 20th, 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The Coast Guard's commander in Alaska officially admonished a Sitka-based aviator over the weekend for his actions in a fatal helicopter crash. Three of the four people on board Coast Guard helicopter 6017 died when it crashed in July of 2010 near La Push, Washington. The helicopter's co-pilot, Lieutenant Lance Leone, survived the crash and faced criminal charges that were dismissed earlier this month. Leone met Sunday with Coast Guard Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo to review a final report on the crash. Ostebo also entered remarks into Leone's personnel file that could mean an uncertain future for the aviator's military career. Leone's attorney says he'll challenge the admiral's official remarks. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The 12-page final action memorandum, as it's called, comes from Vice Admiral Sally Bryce O'Hara. She's Vice Commandant of the Coast Guard in Washington, D.C. It says Leone and Pilot in Command Lieutenant Sean Kruger failed to comply with altitude restrictions, which contributed to the helicopter striking electrical wires between La Push and a nearby island. It says the flight plan listed a level of 1,000 feet, but that the chopper was below 200 feet for nearly two-thirds of its flight between Astoria, Oregon, and the crash site, some 125 miles north. The report goes on to say that minor procedural lapses, such as not completing required checklists, were followed by significant errors in judgment, and it says some pilots at Air Station Sitka have become habituated to low-level flight when conditions do not require it. Coast Guard spokeswoman Lieutenant Veronica Colbath confirmed that Leone met with Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, the commander of the Coast Guard in Alaska, on Sunday to go over the final report. Colbath says she cannot comment on the remarks Ostebo entered into Leone's personnel file and that the Coast Guard cannot release them. Leone's attorney, John Smith, also said he can't release Ostebo's remarks, but he said they echo the memo from headquarters, saying Leone's failure to perform his duties directly contributed to the deaths of his shipmates and the destruction of the helicopter.
Clearly he's disappointed.
John Smith.
Having your commander, as well as the Coast Guard, the organization that you love, tell the world that you directly contributed to the deaths of your crewmates, your fellow Coast Guardsmen, that's a pretty heavy weight to put on somebody. I think that Lieutenant Leone would gladly take that on if the Coast Guard would, in essence, meet him halfway and take responsibility for what they failed to do. But that's not the case here.
Smith takes exception to a number of the conclusions in the crash report, but here he's talking about the wires the helicopter struck. Smith says the Coast Guard should have acted sooner on warnings it received about those power lines. The memo says the lines were marked on navigational charts, but it also acknowledges that a lack of adequate markings on the lines, quote, may have contributed to this mishap, unquote. The power lines were maintained by the Coast Guard and have since been removed and replaced with a generator. According to the report, the Federal Aviation Administration doesn't require markings for lines below 200 feet, but the warning balls that were attached were smaller than those normally used and were faded and required replacement. Earlier this month, when the Coast Guard dismissed the criminal charges against Leone, Smith said he was hopeful his client would return to flight. Leone was determined suitable to return to duty as a Coast Guard aviator last year, but his recertification was canceled when the charges were filed. The final report released this week directs Coast Guard officials to reconsider whether Leone is suitable for flight duty. Smith says that, coupled with the remarks in his personnel file, mean an uncertain future for Leone's military career.
This kind of administrative remark really can mean that Lieutenant Leone would not be promoted again. It's possible that his current promotion, and he is on the list to be promoted, might be relooked. We haven't heard anything from the Coast Guard yet about that.
As for the future, the report makes a number of recommendations and directives on how the Coast Guard can change its safety practices. For example, the Coast Guard will review the way it trains air crews to interact. It will develop the ability for a helicopter's crew to hear the same warnings that are available to the pilots, and it will study the feasibility of equipping Coast Guard helicopters with wire strike prevention systems already in use by the Department of Defense. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Coast Guard's final action memo includes other findings and directives. You can link to the entire memo on our website at kcaw.org. A village corporation's petition to manage a Chatham Strait fishery goes before the Federal Subsistence Board this week. Kutznuwu Incorporated says state-managed commercial fishing is hurting subsistence harvests near Angoon. It's petitioned the board to assert authority over waters near the West Admiralty Island community. Commercial and sport fishermen who use the area are closely watching what's called an extraterritorial jurisdiction petition. The Federal Subsistence Board meets Wednesday through Friday at Juneau's Elizabeth Paradovich Hall. It will also be hearing presentations on Southeast sea otter issues and the Interior's 40-mile caribou harvest plan. Also on the agenda is a proposal from the Kuskokwim Native Association requesting recognition of customary and traditional uses of moose. That meeting will be teleconferenced. Connection details are on our website at kcaw.org. The owners of a Juneau restaurant have agreed to pay a penalty for buying subsistence harvested halibut. The Juneau Empire says the owners of the Zen restaurant will pay a civil penalty of $18,000 over the next 12 months for purchasing halibut they knew was subsistence caught. Residents living in rural areas in Alaska are only eligible for subsistence hunting rights on federal land. The North Pacific Halibut Act prohibits the sale, offer for sale, trade, or barter of subsistence harvested halibut. A NOAA spokeswoman says the person who sold the halibut was not charged and cooperated with the government. The halibut was purchased in early 2010 to serve in the restaurant. Yan Singh LLC was doing business as the Zen Restaurant and Jaded Bar when that halibut was purchased. Oil taxes and education funding are among the remaining priorities for House and Senate leaders as the legislature enters its final month. As of Monday, 27 days remained in the 90-day session. Oil taxes, a major point of contention last session, have continued to dominate the conversation in Juneau. The Senate Finance Committee is working on an oil tax bill, and with time winding down, the House Resources Committee plans to begin holding overview hearings on the issue to get members up to speed. House Speaker Mike Chenault says the House Finance Committee plans to delve into education funding next week. One of the big unknowns, will the legislature go into overtime? Chenault says that's hard to answer until the House sees what the Senate sends over on oil taxes. Legislators at odds over state law describing do not resuscitate orders told very different stories during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing yesterday. Senator Fred Dyson says clarification is needed to ensure that patients have control over the care they receive. The Eagle River Republicans' proposal, SB 172, has strong bipartisan support. The bill is a response to a complaint from a woman who claims doctors ordered her husband not to be resuscitated, which was against his will. A hospital spokesman contested those details. Judiciary Chair Hollis French says the problem is not the intent of the bill, but the possibility of forcing doctors to use methods they believe will make no difference. Doctors and hospice workers around the state testified in agreement with French. The bill was held pending further discussion. A 59-year-old Trapper Creek miner has been fined $5,000 for diverting a creek used by salmon for spawning, rearing, and migration. The State Office of Special Prosecutions says a Palmer jury last week deliberated less than 3 hours to find Samuel C. Turner guilty of 2 fish and game violations. Turner was charged with diverting Cache Creek, which is used by King, Coho, and Pink Salmon. Assistant Attorney General Clint Campion says the diversion was discovered in October during a Department of Natural Resources aerial mining survey. A state investigator and habitat biologists later concluded that Turner diverted more than 550 feet of Cache Creek downstream of his main mining operation. The Special Prosecution's Office says Turner has begun developing a plan to return Cache Creek to its normal flow. And the city of Fairbanks is going to allow the Occupy Fairbanks protesters to have a portable toilet. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner says the city is allowing a toilet near the protesters' tent in Veterans Memorial Park, but it will have to be removed by April 30th. The Occupy Fairbanks protesters have been maintaining a presence in the park since last fall. Tents were erected in November, and the group rented a chemical toilet, but the Fairbanks North Star Borough, which owns the park, had it removed in January. 2 protesters addressed the city council and asked Mayor Jerry Clayworth to allow them to reinstall the toilet. The mayor heard from other council members and then granted the request, but only until the end of April. And that's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. The temperature, 26 degrees, still a chilly morning, and winds about 7 miles an hour out of the northeast. Pretty fair skies, some clouds coming in, and it's expected to hit a high of 38 degrees.